You have your Bibles this evening, turn to John chapter 14. And Nate, if you'll give a hand, you can do this side in the middle. And Isaac can do this side. I appreciate Pastor sharing about the... What is he sharing about? What did he share this morning?
Survey page.
Oh, Pastor, what did someone...
Some
of you know that I have a few cattle, a few more than I should have at the moment, because my grass is disappearing. But anyway, every now and then I check the fences, you see, just to make sure they're still there and the way they should be. And not long ago, I found one where the end of one of the wires had come loose, and so there's a hole in the fence. And anyway, and then I'm checking the southern boundary, and that's the longest fence that we have on the property. And I see all these posts. Every now and then, we have the old wooden posts with the holes in them still. And every now and then, I see a post, one side of it's all painted yellow. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Who would have done that? And then I realized that the people who bought the property to the south of us, they had it surveyed, did they not? So the surveyor, wherever going along, so not only did they do the four corners, they checked to make sure that the fence line was actually on the boundary. And so as they checked that, they'd spray the post. Yet this post is right on the boundary. This is survey. So instead of driving a survey peg, they just painted the post and said, yep, that's the line. So anyway, survey pegs. And as Pastor was sharing this morning, I thought, you know what? It's not only the corners. God wants us to know where the boundaries are all around, not just the corners. And so I was reminded of that. I thought I'd share that this morning. John chapter 14, or this evening, John chapter 14. Now on the top of your sheet of paper that we handed out, everybody have a copy? There's more, yes, there's more here if you need one or want one. I printed them out just to make it a little easier. Jesus says here, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the question is, well, what is that? What does that mean? Does that refer back to the Ten Commandments and to the commandments that he gave to Israel? Does that refer to what? So anyway, I printed out a fair bit more of chapter 14, because in verse 21 he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is, that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. There's all kinds of implications here, but anyway, we'll just read on through. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and will make our abode with him. Now remember that the Holy Spirit had not been given, and so this was new territory for the disciples. So he that loveth me and keepeth my sayings, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which has sent me, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And then verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now verse 27, and how many of you are familiar with this verse? You've heard this verse, you've heard it quoted, you've heard it... So is there a condition for this verse? Is it in this chapter for a purpose? Is it here for a purpose? is he's talking about keeping his words, keeping his commandments. And then he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Talking about commandments. Can we all quote the Ten Commandments? Pastor can quote them. He learned them years ago, and he's not old enough yet to have forgotten them, so that's good. I have another sheet of paper. That would be helpful at this point. Nate, if you will. And Isaac, thanks. One of the challenges that we have, thanks, Isaac. One of the challenges that we have is this what applies to us? What part of the scripture applies to us, and how does it apply to us? So the rule of thumb is what? When was it written? To whom was it written? And how does it apply to us? Right? Well, let's look at an illustration. For instance, in Exodus 12, we have the giving of the information about the Passover lamb and the fact that the Israelites were to take a lamb, a perfect lamb, and kill it and place the blood on the lintel. So does that apply to you, James? Are you sure? Positive. Good. Man. So then we say, well, why doesn't that apply to us? I mean, Moses gave a direct command to do this. Sorry? Different covenant and a different period of time. Absolutely. So the sheet that I gave you there, or the sheet that we just passed out is actually from Schofield, from the Schofield Bible. I have an issue with Schofield. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have a chat with him. He doesn't in the Schofield Bible. He didn't expressly point out that the days of creation are 24-hour days. I mean, you know, how could he miss that? But it's interesting. Commentators and great men of God have missed little, you know, bits and pieces here and there, and that's true with all of us. It's true with all of us. I hesitate to say that it's true with Pastor. I haven't found any yet with Pastor, but... On the sheet that says page 95 at the bottom, the Mosaic Covenant given to Israel was given in three divisions. This was helpful for me to understand, and I pass it on to you just because it was helpful to me to understand that, as Clem says, we're under a different covenant, and we are. We're not under the Mosaic Covenant. We have the commandments that were given, and pastors just preached through a series of messages regarding the commandments and the fact that all but one of those are restated in the New Testament and therefore do apply to us. Then you have the judgments governing the social life of Israel. In other words, you have the Ten Commandments, but how do they apply? If my cow gets into the neighbor's property and eats half his cornfield or my cattle, well, what is my responsibility? And that's what the social life of Israel, the judgments, that's that whole section there in Exodus 21, etc., through 24. That's what God said. God said, here, if this happens, this is a response. And if this happens, this is a response. You say, well, that doesn't apply to me at all. Oh, look at the first sheet I gave you. And let's have another look here. 2 Timothy 3:17. Sorry, 3:17 and 17. Yeah, you got it there. 16 and 17. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for, and a purpose. Man of God or the man of woman, or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then notice Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written when? Were written for just to fill up space. No. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And then 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but how did it come? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, the fact is that the social life of Israel does apply to us in that it's an example of how they were to respond when certain situations happened. So it may not be specific illustration of our relationship one with another, but they are an examples. It can show us how God wanted his people to deal with one another. And it really is an outworking of the Ten Commandments. So you have the Ten Commandments, and then God says, by the way, here's the practical outcome or the practical application of these commandments. Would you say that's correct, Pastor? Well, I'm glad he said yes. And then you have the ordinances governing the religious life of Israel. And this, of course, as James said, we don't have to kill a lamb at Passover time and sprinkle the blood on the lintel because we're not under that covenant or that period of time. So it's important to know what period of time we are living in and what applies to us here and now. So all of that, the ordinances, by the way, provide tremendous illustration of how God wants his people to respond to him. And in all of this, the key factor is obedience. If we're going to be obedient to what God wants us to do, then there are blessings. Years ago, I had a big sign in the school in Harvey Bay that says, obedience equals blessing. And I believe that that's true. Obedience equals blessing. We can't expect the blessings of God if we're not obedient to his word. So one of the purposes of this sharing, the time of sharing this evening, is to find out, well, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, what are they? And what is the outworking of those in our lives here and now? Anyway, so the three aspects of the Mosaic covenant, or the law as it was given to by Moses to Israel, and then on the reverse side of that, you have Christ's relation to the law. You have an explanation of atonement, and the new covenant summary on the bottom of the page. Anyway, that's if that's of any help to you, terrific. If it isn't any help to you, next time you have a bonfire or whatever, you can use it for starting, to start the fire. So just some information like I said, it was helpful to me to get my head around, well, how does all of that in the Old Testament apply to us? And for people to take their Bible and say, Whatever it opens up to, that's my verse for the day. I wrote down a passage here for my notes from Matthew 27:5, where it says that then he went away and hanged himself. And in Luke 10:37, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto him, go do thou likewise. So you can make the Bible say most anything you want it to say. And that's what the cults do. They take scripture and twist it, take it out of context. I had a professor somewhere along the line that says a text without a context is a pretext. It took me a while to work out what pretext was, but anyway. Text without a context is a pretext. So what are we trying to say? We're trying to say, okay, what is the context for Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commandments? Now, anybody want to have a guess as to how many there are? Or do you know what the commandments are that Christ shared? And do they apply to us? Since most of them were given from the book of Matthew, and Matthew was written for our Jewish friends, our Jewish Christian friends, how do they apply to us? Who wants to have a go at how many are there? Okay, Tam. Two. And that, in the context, what context was that? Oh, okay. Sorry, Tim. Sorry. Nate, one more piece. One more. Go here. So in John chapter 14, if you love me, Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 24, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Then verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So, how many are there? 49. Well, at least that's, if you Google that, you'll find a number of different sites that provide these 49. Whether there are others, we could say that there are probably others, but nonetheless, here they are. So the 49 commands of Christ, and Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, if we're going to keep his commandments, we need to know what they are. Would you agree to that? Okay. So Matthew 4:17, what is the first one? Repent. Does that apply to us? Absolutely. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then in Matthew 4:19, he says, what? What is the second one? Follow me. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. How does that apply to us? Because he was speaking specifically to whom? To the disciples, to those who became his disciples. You follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So how does that apply to us? Sorry, Tracy. You can't be one of his 12 or one of those that followed him and were his disciples. There were more than 12 disciples, as we all know. So yes, we say that this applies to us in that he wants us to follow him. And following him is part of being obedient to his word. So yes, we believe that this applies to us in that, yes, it was given specifically to those who he was choosing as the 12, but it also has, in context, it can have an application for us. And that's the important thing, to make sure that we have the proper context and we understand that, does this apply to us? And if so, how does it apply to us? So follow me. Then the third one is what? Rejoice. Rejoice when everything is going well and when you get a raise at work and you're able to pay all your accounts and the pastor is happy with your service in the church. And isn't that what it says? Oh, it doesn't say that. What does it say? Oh, it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Woo, this is a big one. The admonition is to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Who likes to have people saying negative things about you? But we have his admonition for us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is from Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. By the way, the context here is what? The application context is what? There are people who have negative things said about them. That is what? That is, it's true, but because of their wrongdoing, they have negative things said about them. Is that right? So the context, the application context is that as they persecuted the prophets, so we would say, well, the prophets were probably 100% in harmony with God's will. Could we say that? Or at least very close to 100%. So when we are 100% in harmony with God's will, and then there's persecution, then be exceedingly glad and rejoice. Is that stretching it, Pastor? That's not stretching that, is that? Matthew 5. What's the next one? Let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. Aren't we encouraged? Aren't we encouraged as a church fellowship? Lauren's going through a dark patch. Is that fair enough to say? And the ladies and the church as a whole is responding to that with good works. Is that right? If you haven't responded with good works, the opportunity is there. Cam and Lauren bought a new house, so if you want to pay it off for them, why I'm sure they wouldn't. They wouldn't. You know, they'd appreciate it. Yep, Cam votes for that. Oh me, that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine. So how do you let your light so shine? By your good works. By works which are in harmony with the Word of God, which are in harmony with a biblical worldview, which are in harmony with what God wants you to do. Let your light so shine. Then the next one here says, honor God's law. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. By the way, did Jesus keep the Passover? That's a side thing thrown in here. Did his parents keep the Passover? You would assume they did. So did he participate with that? Yep. He kept the law absolutely perfect, because he was the perfect Son of God and still is the perfect Son of God. He was and is. So he would have kept the law. That's why he could say, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to fulfill all the requirements of the law. And that section of the law that was given to Moses, or that Moses shared with the Israelites, the section about the ordinances, about the tabernacle and the offerings, all of that Jesus did perfectly. And now there's no need for us to do what the Israelites were doing, that is to offer a dove or a lamb or a bullock for our sin as a covering for our sin. We have the Son of God who gave his life, the perfect sacrifice. So reading through the ordinances is a great experience as you realize Christ fulfilled all of this. He was the perfect sacrifice that fulfilled all that was required of the Israelites, and all they got was a covering. But we can have full forgiveness. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Matthew 5:17. And then Matthew 5:23-25. Be reconciled. Therefore, what is this? Is this one of those practical applications? Yes, it is. How many of you need to reconcile with somebody? Well, don't put up your hand. Therefore, if thy bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there the gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So it's interesting, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we often have a time beforehand where we ask people, is everything right? Are you where you need to be with God? And it's a good time to remember, because here we're acknowledging with the Lord's Supper, we're acknowledging the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross of Calvary. We're acknowledging his tremendous sacrifice, and if we participate, or when we participate in this, surely we want to be in as right a relationship as we know how to be when we participate in the Lord's Supper. So therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest, it's amazing, isn't it? I don't know about you, but there have been times when I'm going along sort of normal, and people say, well, I'd like to see that, but anyway. And God brings something to mind, something that I need to acknowledge that what I said or did wasn't the best thing that I could have said or did. That ever happened to you? God reminds you of that? It happens to me every now and then, and I trust I'm not the only one. I trust that be reconciled. And then, of course, the next one is do not lust, and this applies to both male and female. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28-30. And then keep your word. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Matthew 5:37. Are we making any progress here this evening? Are you learning what some of the commands of Christ are, and how they apply in our lives? So there's only three sheets of paper, double-sided, to go here, or two and a half to go. I told Pastor before we started in our prayer time this morning that I'm grateful that he allowed me to have this meeting this evening, or this to take the service this evening. However, I'll need two or three more to get through this whole matter. Top of page two is go the second mile. Well, you can translate it to kilometer if you're in If you're in that time frame, you've heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. I didn't realize that this part of the Roman army guidelines. Any Roman soldier could say, as he's marching along, he comes past James's house, and James had come out to see this, you know, all that's happening. And so the Roman soldier says, "Hey, James, or hey, you, carry my gear for a mile." And there's no alternative to that. Anyone they pointed to, carry my gear, carry all their gear. It was a given that you're going to do it. I didn't know that. But I'm thinking, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because soldiers, have you seen the photos of our soldiers today? All the stuff they carry, I think, man, how can they move, much less get wherever they need to go? They got backpacks and they got stuff strapped around their waist and they got, okay. Anyway, apparently it was the law in that, at least for part of the time, where a Roman soldier could conscript anyone to carry their burden or carry their gear for a mile. So Jesus says here, if he shall compel thee, see, to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now here's a great one. Second one on page 2 is what? You know what? It's easy to love the lovely. You know that? It's easy to love the lovely. How many of you do not love a beautiful rose? I mean, I'm not especially a rose fan, but I love a nice-looking rose. I mean, you know. It's easy to love the lovely, and it's easy to love lovely people. It's easy to love people who get along with you, who don't harass you, who don't do whatever. You know, it's easy to love those kind of people. It's the ones that, how shall I say, you know, I trust it's not true here, but there are places I go where there are people I'm hoping I don't meet. Because you think, okay, what am I going to say and how am I going to say it? And can I get through this conversation without saying something that's going to come back and bite me? I see some of you smiling and you're saying, that doesn't happen to me. You know, that's love your enemy. Wow. Now, some of you know that at Jubilee, we've had a challenge with our curriculum. The Commonwealth government, decided that since there are so many differences in the curriculum that is used in the schools in the various states, that there ought to be an Australian curriculum. There ought to be a curriculum that is common across the whole of the country. And the fact is that that's not a bad idea, in that you have military people moving here and there and yon, and lots of people are moving. I don't know what the average is, but it's something like every 3 years people move. I'm happy to be corrected on whatever that is. And they move interstate. So then you're in Queensland. And by the way, it's only in the last 2 years, 3 years, where Queensland the primary level ages or grades are the same. In Queensland, they were different than New South Wales and Victoria. You know, it was one grade one or prep through year seven was primary in Queensland. In Victoria, it was grades prep through six, and in New South Wales, it's prep through six. So, you know, to bring some harmony into all of that, the Commonwealth government said we need an Australian curriculum, and they got the wrong people to design it, but that's only my opinion. There are things about it that nearly turn your hair gray when you read what's involved. But nonetheless, so we've had a challenge with our curriculum because, of course, we were using ACE, and, of course, that doesn't meet all the requirements. And it didn't, and we knew it didn't, so we were working on it. But in the end, we made significant changes. But in this whole process, the government department in Queensland that is responsible for all non-state schools, that includes the Catholics, Lutherans, Seventh-day Adventists, the old grammar schools, all of the schools that are not state schools are called non-state schools, and there's a body called the Non-State Schools Accreditation Board that has responsibility for all the schools. So, of course, they decided that they're going to come and check and see what we're doing, and they've been checking and checking and checking. And so we had two representatives that they hire. They hire what they call assessors, people who assess what you're doing to see whether or not it's okay. I confess, it was not easy to love these people, especially the one who made it very clear that anything Christian is suspect. It's interesting because we've been praying, and you people have been praying, and we appreciate and are grateful for your prayers. God has responded in a marvelous way, and we're grateful for that. But it's interesting because our principal, when we knew they were coming, he made a statement that really, really hit home to me. He said, you know, we need to realize that these people are not our enemies. And I wanted to say, well, they sure look like it. But I realized that he was absolutely correct. They're doing their job. They may be overdoing it or whatever, but nonetheless, they are not our enemies. But anyway, the scripture says here that we are to love our enemies. And I appreciated the prayers that I heard from our staff saying, Father, help us to be of a positive mind and a positive mindset. Help us to do everything we can to demonstrate to them that we want to do what is right. And help us not to have a negative attitude toward these two ladies who came to do the assessment. On the second morning, this is not written in, this is, we have don't have this in writing, and until we get it in writing, it's sort of nebulous. Well, not really, hopefully not, but anyway, on the second morning, they were there, they came day one, which was a full-on day. Day two, they summarized things, but early in the morning on the second day, they said, we're going to say that this school is compliant. Now, we've been seeking compliance for 6-7 years, and we've had these assessors and assessments and whatever. So we're rejoicing, and I want to say again how much we appreciated the prayers of those of you here at Grace Baptist Church, because God has heard our prayer, and we believe that in the end we will get a piece of paper that says that we are compliant. So we're grateful for your prayers. And I share that because it's easy to love the lovely. It's also easy to have a negative attitude to those who are not on your page are not in your, not in where you are, not on your train going your way. So we have an admonition here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 46. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to him that hate you. And I think we'll stop there. Somebody should have said, hey, it's past time. I apologize. I looked a while ago. I looked only 5 minutes ago, and it was 10 till. You know, that's. Father, we're grateful this evening for your word. Help us, Father, to understand how it applies to us. Help us to understand. And then once we understand, Father, help us to do what we need to do to be in harmony and unity with you. And Father, we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.